watchers and seers, and we let them see the love of God manifested through us in our gentleness, in the way that we approach things. That's a really good thing. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. A wonderful, wonderful promise that he will never let us down. We can trust him. And in all those things, in the comfort we take, in the welcome, in the witness, in the trust, there's a call to worship as well. So let everything that has breath. Who's got breath this morning? Yeah, we've all got breath. So we're ready. We're ready to worship. So Lord, as we come into your presence this morning, as we come to fellowship together, as we come to this place of worship to encourage each other and to be encouraged, we open our hearts to the things of you. We worship you. We remember your promise. We're safe in the knowledge that you are faithful. And from that place of trust, from that place of safety, from that place of knowing that we're underpinned by you, we're able to worship you. We're able to give you praise, because you are great. You are awesome. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are majestic. You are glorious. You are Prince of Peace. We worship you this morning, Jesus. thank you, Lord Jesus, for leaving your Spirit, for sending your Spirit to dwell in us. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone. You didn't come and save us and then leave us to make our way through this life away from you and working towards you. You gave us the helper, the comforter. Thank you, Spirit, for who you are. Thank you, Spirit, for your work in us. Thank you, Spirit, for opening our eyes to the things that separated us from God. Thank you, Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Sandra, would you like to come up and lead us in our time of communion? Ruth and I will give out the wafers and juice while you do that. It's bread and wine.
Thank you. Well, after that worship, I don't really think I need to say any more about the bread and the wine, but I've prepared something, so I will. Good morning, everybody, and it's so nice to see you all. And I just want to start with a question. Does anybody here like it when they know that they've got a good deal? I knew my husband would put his hand up. Well, we all look for good deals, don't we, on our car insurance, our mobile phones, our TV packages, holidays, gas and electricity, because you can pay over the odds, can't you, if you don't go looking for these good deals. So, thank you. So it's very wise to go looking for the best deals, and my husband is brilliant at it. I have to say, he's absolutely fantastic. So I leave it all to him, because there's no point in me trying to do it, because he's so good. But yesterday, I found a good deal. So I was very, very pleased with it. I went out to lunch with some of my siblings just for pub grub, and we meet up every month in person. We communicate all the time, but in person about once a month we get together for lunch and to do catch up. And we were at this pub and I looked at the menu and it was all very, very nice. It looked all very tasty and very good. Reasonable prices, and then I saw the deal. It was a light bite deal. Two courses for £11.95. I couldn't believe it. In this day and age, two courses for £11.95. So I thought, I've got to try this. It was light bites, and I was expecting quite small portions, but they weren't small at all. They were actually so big I couldn't finish it all off. So I thought to myself, I've got a good deal here. So a lovely meal for £11.95 and a cappuccino for £2.75. When did you last hear of that? I thought, this is... If you want to go, it's the horseshoe in Ringley Village, if you want to go. Anyway... When I got home from that thinking I've got a good deal today, I was thinking about what I was going to say today at the breaking of bread. And it just occurred to me, what a fantastic deal was brokered for us at the cross, wasn't it? And, oh my goodness, it just blew me away thinking about it. I mean, that meal pales into significance when you think about what we got at the cross. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So just think about that. In this deal that we have at the cross, that's what we've got. Christ died for us. Our sin has gone. It's been removed as far as the east is from the west. And there's more. In Romans 4:5 it says, but people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. So we're forgiven and we're righteous because of what Jesus has done at the cross. What a great deal that is, isn't it? So it's Jesus who never sinned, who's the sinless one, who was humiliated and he was crucified for yours and mine sin. So what do we have to do? What's our part of this great deal? What do we have to do? It's free. We don't have to pay £11.95 even for it. We can't earn it. We don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. So our part of the bargain is that we have to confess our sins, love him, and obey him. And that's all he wants for us in return. So if you can open your bread and wine, we'll just pray. If you can open your bread and wine, I'm not even going to try and do it up here, one-handedly. Father, we want to thank you for sending your one and only Son to earth to pay the price for our sins. We confess those sins, the ones that we've thought and said and done, and those things that we've left undone that we should have done. Thank you that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far you've removed our transgressions from us. We praise and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Son. I would just say we don't get any endorsements from the Horseshoe, and all the pubs are available. Wonderful. I mean, that's what we'll hear this morning. That's what we are here this morning, loud and clear. And I'll pick the answer this week. I guess just give a bit of a wider update, a more kind of wider update. I guess those who are regulars here at Mount Chapel might sort of feel a little bit unrested or disrupted at the moment. We've had some departures recently. Obviously, Paul, our pastor, left just at the end of June. I guess it's we're in a tricky time. We're in a challenging period because transition and change is always challenging. But we wanted to reassure you that there's good things are happening. So we wanted to reassure you first up that whilst our leadership team is currently somewhat depleted, we are currently actually meeting as a wider leadership team. So the leaders who were kind of left from the previous leadership team are now meeting with the trustees and the deacons just to benefit from that wider wisdom as we go through this period. And that's already been really beneficial. So thank you to those who sit on those various groups for joining us and supporting us and I guess helping us to work through this period. We understand there'll be lots of questions. I think people are sort of asking questions and not quite sure whether this is the right form to ask a question. I don't feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I've still got a question, so I'd like to. So we want to make it. We want to, I guess, advertise the fact that we have an ACM, an annual church meeting, booked in now. So we're going to do that on the 15th of September. And that will be a really good place to ask questions, raise any concerns. I guess just have a really open and transparent discussion about where we're at and where we think God's leading us to. Both in the kind of interim transition period, if you like, but then also a look to the longer term future. Thanks, Vanessa, for popping that up on the screen. I think in the meantime, it would be really good for us to be available to ask questions too. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you get an immediate answer back, because it might be something that we need to take away and discuss, but actually it'd be really helpful for us to understand what the questions are within the fellowship, what people have concerns about, what they'd like to know. And so there's going to be three ways that you can raise questions in the interim between now and in the middle of September. I should have said, feels like quite a long way away, September, doesn't it? And it feels like if I've got a burning question now, then that's 2 months, over 2 months to wait. However, obviously the summer in between, lots of people on holiday, we didn't want people to miss that session. We didn't want people to feel like, oh, I really want to be there, but I'm away in the Costa del Salford. So we wanted to make sure that that people were here. So hopefully a couple of months notice, 15th of September, gives you enough time. And also it does give us time to just breathe and to listen to God, to seek God for where he wants to take us next, and I guess be ready for that meeting. Three ways to ask questions. You can either come and speak to any one of these people. So there's a little colour-coded system. It's quite complicated because some people are both deacons and trustees. Some people are on the leadership team and a deacon. So we've got like mixtures. So like a red is a trustee, but a deacon and a trustee is a kind of mix of red and yellow. So it's orange. What am I talking about? No idea. But those are the people that you can come and ask questions to. Kind of felt like it might be a good idea to put some faces up on the screen. Because we all know who we are, but if we just said the deacons or the trustees, people might go, well, who are they? I don't know who they are. So these are the people. These are good people to talk to. So you can ask them an individual question if you like. And if it's a question that you would like raised formally, to be answered formally at the ACM, could you make that known in the conversation, just so that person knows to write it down and to record it, so that we can know that we want to answer that question. So that's one way. Second way is, if you'd like to, then you can send a question by email to the chapel email address. That is mountchapelsalford@gmail.com. And if you can't remember that, then that's on the website. And the third way, there will be a box appearing at the back. It won't be there this week, but it will be there next week, into which you can place any questions. So if you'd prefer to ask an anonymous question and say, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable about saying this out loud, but it's still a concern, write it down on a piece of paper, pop it in the box at the back, and we'll know that that's an important thing to you that you would like answered. Does that all make sense? Really good. I guess the other thing is just to give you a little bit of a kind of window into the meetings that we have had as that kind of wider leadership group. I think, speaking honestly, people are feeling, it's been quite a challenging time, and it still feels challenging. But also, people just have a real optimism about what God's doing in this period, because when it is difficult, when things are challenging, God works. And God's using us. God's growing us through this period to make us ready for the next thing that he's got for us. And that's really exciting. And so pray for us as we seek God together. And also, I would encourage you to think about what's God doing in me that's getting me ready for this next period for Mount Chapel. What is it that God's growing me? Why has he put me here? And how is he growing me for this next period of what's happening in the life of Mount Chapel? Okay. Ruth, I think you've got a game for us.
I have. So we have a little bit of a competition. I'm trying to work out how we split this. I think we should have the front section versus the back section. I was going to go right and left, but no. There's too many people at the back that I want involved in this game. So, back onto our Wimbledon tennis theme. We're going to have a competition, a little bit like Steve and I were doing earlier, with how many passes can you make between you and your partner without the ball touching the ground. I did have a little bit of a bounce at one point, didn't I? So I might let that go or I might not. Yes, so I need two sets of two people who are going to come and take a tennis racket. And trying to keep in mind that there are some lights, so preferably not hit it too high up. yes, so it may be who in the front section, if we could have two people that might like to be our front section tennis players. Do you like tennis, James? No? Or you could have, maybe you could have three of you. You'd have two on one side. We haven't got three rackets, but I'm sure two of you could work together. Yes, brilliant. Let's have a round of applause. Steve, could you move the lectern? I'm thinking that's probably a good idea. Give us a bit more space. Brilliant. So I'll let you have a couple of goes, okay? I might even let you have a bounce in between. I'm going to let you have a bounce in between if you need it. And we'll see how many times you can hit the ball. Go for it. One, two, three. Ooh, that was good. That was a good effort. Three to start with. See if you can do it again. See if you can get more than three. One, two. Close, nearly three. Have another go. One, two. It's quite tricky, isn't it? Especially in the space. One, two. I'm going to let that be four. Okay, one, two, three. Oh, close. Right, last go, James. You ready? This one's concentrate. One, two. So close. Round of applause, everyone. Well done. Thank you, James. Thanks for coming up. Thank you, Sandra. So we've got four, okay. We only need two people from the back section to come up and see if you can beat four. Everyone looks away from me. Oh, Vanessa is literally hiding under the desk. Cannot see her. Surely going to get some... Vanessa's point. Oh yes, John, thank you. John and Mayo, brilliant. A round of applause. Mayo definitely volunteered. It definitely wasn't me, just saying her name. Brilliant. There you go, right? Let's see how many you can do. You're not allowed to bounce in between. Okay. Yeah, because you guys are a bit older, you have to do it straight, no bouncing in between. Okay, one, two, three, close. Okay, reset, let me grab the ball. Where did it go? You can get a bit closer if you want. One, two, three. You guys, James and Sandra, are still winning on four at the moment. One, two, 3, 4. Okay, it's a draw at the moment. It's a draw at the moment. It's 4, but this, I'm going to give you one more chance to see if you can beat the other couple. I'd come forward, but yeah, give yourself a bit more space. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's a draw. It's a draw. Round of applause, everyone.
I'm going to get my lectern back. I don't know if I really need it. Wonderful. I feel like maybe a few people missed out on the theme tune at the start, didn't you? Because there was a few people that kind of came in after the very start of the service. Let's go for the theme tune again. I mean, who doesn't love the Wimbledon theme tune? It's like a taste of summer, isn't it? We do that? First slide. Are we ready for it? The Wimbledon theme tune. We could just do it, can't we? Thank you. Amazing. Where are we up to? So, couple of weeks ago, we're doing a sports league for the men of the churches of Salford. Actually, it started off as being a thing for blokes in Mount Chapel to get together and have social time together, and it's kind of stretched to be chapel and friends. A couple of weeks ago we had tennis as our monthly sport, so each month we meet up, we play a sport together, and we enjoy some time of fellowship and socialising together. And so this was Claremont Tennis Club. As you can see from the visible sweat patches on the front of my t-shirt, this was after the game, sorry about that everyone. And I think a good time was had by all, and we sort of felt prepared for the grass court season. So we've now kind of moved on into the grass court season. We talked a little bit earlier about let, didn't we? So right at the start we talked about let the little children come to me, let the peace of God reign in your hearts, and various let statements. So we're going to carry on a similar theme. Don't change it just yet. You might have given people a little bit of a sneak preview, but what other tennis jargon do you know? Juice, yeah, juice is good. Love, yes, good one. Ace, yeah. Advantage, yeah. Keep going, keep them coming. You cannot be serious. Yes, that's a good one. What did you say?
Set.
Oh, set as well, yes, very good, yeah. Any more? Game, set and match, yeah, out, yeah. So all of these and more kind of came to me as I was trying to do the kind of word association thing. So I started off with rally, and I'm thinking that's quite a difficult one to form a connection. I'm thinking like Colin McRae, like flying through forests on like gravel tracks in a very fast car. That's rally, isn't it? And I'm struggling to find a sort of scriptural reference for that one. Ground stroke, like I don't quite know how to do ground stroke, but I couldn't find the word association in the Bible. And drop shot, like Joe would tell me that a drop shot is not a good thing because you're a golfer. And a drop shot in golf is really not a good thing. And yet a drop shot in tennis is a very tactical move, trying to like use spin to prevent your opponent from being able to reach the ball. So lots of confusing terms, actually, lots of different terms that can mean different things in different contexts. And as I said at the start, I think sometimes we can just use the things of this world, something like a simple tennis match, to remind us of what God would say to us. Not necessarily to be a perfect picture, and let me tell you now, I'm just going to give you the warning, none of these are a perfect picture of what it means to walk the Christian life. Some of them, I did apologise at the start, are a little bit contrived, but I think that's okay. So I've picked a selection that we're going to tackle together, and we're going to find the gospel message somewhere on the tennis court, somewhere in these words. So, first one, I think, is going to be fault. Who would like to read that Bible verse?
Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. Jude 1.
Wonderful. So, tennis would say, fault. You've got it wrong. And actually, there's a little picture of grace within tennis, within fault in tennis. Because when you get a fault, you get another go. And that's a good thing. But then, if you double fault, then you're out. And that's where the picture sort of starts to become a bit like, really? That's not quite what we talk about with the gospel, is it? Because he's able to keep us from falling and bring us into great joy, into his glorious presence without a single fault. So no matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've felt away from God, fallen away from God, no matter how many times we think, God, you know, I've messed up again, and this time it's too much, this time I'm too far away. That's not true. You're never too far away. What about the next one, Vanessa? Who'd like to read this one?
Out. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13.
And this too is a wonderful truth. So the tennis rules say if you go out of the court, then you don't get points. If you go out of the bounds, then it's not welcome. It's not welcome in the game. And yet that's not what the kingdom of God looks like. There's a wonderful song by Rend. Does anyone know it? It's called No Outsiders. There are no outsiders to your love. It's a wonderful song. Look it up. It probably doesn't go much like that. The melody is completely different. But that's true. There are no outsiders to his love. The game of tennis says if you're outside, then you're not welcome. But the kingdom of God says everybody's welcome. That verse at the start that we said, let the little children come to me. There's a welcome for even the smallest, right to the oldest. Everybody's welcome in the kingdom of heaven. Where are we next, Vanessa? Who'd like to read about service?
For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
And in the game of tennis, service is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Service is a thing that almost gives you the upper hand. And I think there's something that, there's like a paradox there, isn't there? Because actually, in the Christian walk, it's the humble nature of a servant that we're called to. It's not trying to use that service to get position or to get something, to get the upper hand on an opponent, but it's to take a humble position. And yet, in the kingdom, there's this paradox where the first should be last and the last should be first. So there's an interesting picture there, isn't there, where even though we're not trying, to get the upper hand and to use that service as an offensive weapon to our opponents, somehow God uses that to I guess elevate our spiritual position, if you like, draw us closer to Him, and I guess make us more successful in our spiritual walk. It's not what earthly success would look like. But it's there's something beautiful about that service of Christ. And even Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And He gave us that wonderful picture of saying, even though I'm perfect, even though I'm the spotless lamb, and even though, as Sandra was saying, while you were still sinners, I died for you. I took on the very nature of a servant. And there's a wonderful truth in there, isn't there? What happens after service? Receiving, nice, or returning in some translations. But receiving. Who'd like to talk about receiving? I'd like to read this passage.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
And I love this one, because this one, when you watch someone like Novak Djokovic, who's like one of the best receivers ever in the game, like, what he receives, he gives back. So he gets anyone's like quality of serve, and somehow manages to turn it into something that's incredibly powerful, and he almost uses the speed and the acceleration that's coming onto his racket to provide that motive force to get it back across the net, and with even more gusto, and that's a great picture of what it's like in the Christian walk. So, or I guess the call of Christ, what you've received, what you've got coming into you in such measure, the speed, the power of what we've got coming into us from that indwelling Holy Spirit that we've been talking about, we're called to give that out. It's to go back. We reflect what we've received in worship back to Christ, and as we do that, we reflect that out to those around us as well, don't we? And others feel the impact of and the force of what we've received. That's a wonderful thing. And actually, just going back to the start, the beginning part of that verse, those are incredible things that we're called to do, aren't they? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Those are massive, massive things. And sometimes, I guess, life can begin to feel a bit like repetitive or mundane, and we just do the same things. And actually, there's a wake-up call in there, isn't there? To say, hang on, the Bible says, heal the sick, raise the dead. Like, there's the miraculous is normal in the kingdom of God. Like, why don't we see more of this stuff? Well, maybe there's something in it that we allow ourselves to go through life and not engage in these things, not walk in the power of Jesus in our lives, not walk in the power of the Spirit working through us. Freely you've received, freely give. Power that comes in, it goes out again. Novak Djokovic, watch him. And one more, I think. Who'd like to read this one?
Love. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbour, you will fulfil the requirements of God's law. Romans 13, verse 8.
Thank you, George. What does love mean in tennis? Nothing. Love means nothing in tennis. And I've got to say, whilst obviously the picture that I've created prior to this has been an absolute perfect representation of the gospel within the game of tennis, this is where it all falls down. Because in tennis, love means nothing. It's meaningless. And yet, in the kingdom of God, love is everything. Love is what took Jesus to the cross. And we're called to love. Our whole being is made to love. And that's to love Christ and to receive and reflect, as we've talked about. But also to love others. And this is a really powerful verse. Owe nothing to anyone. Quite a practical bit of advice there. Like, don't be anyone's debtor. Apart from in your obligation to love one another. So take that on as a debt, that it's your obligation to love your neighbour. And why? Because if you love your neighbour, you'll fulfil all the requirements of God's law. So we can get hung up on, should I do this? Should I do that? Is this what God wants me to do? Is that? If we love our neighbour, then we fulfill all of the requirements. Everything that God requires of us, it's fulfilled. And it says that as we walk with him, that his burden is easy, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And to me, this releases us into that light burden, because it says I don't need to stress about the minutiae detail, because actually the minutiae detail works itself out when my heart's in the right place, when I love God and when I'm loving those around us, when I'm loving those around me. So where are we by way of summary? We have a gospel that's allows us to be free. It's a gospel of acceptance, because we're welcomed into his kingdom. We're welcomed without blemish. He makes it so that we can be in his presence without blemish. It's a gospel of both receiving and of serving. It's a gospel of action. It's something we need to act on. We don't just receive God's love and say, okay, that's okay for me, I'm done now. There's a there's an act that goes with the acceptance into his kingdom. There's action. And the most important thing that tennis has got so horribly wrong, that love isn't meaningless. Love doesn't mean nothing. Love means everything. Now just give us a moment to think about what we've heard this morning. What God would be saying into our lives and into our hearts. How is God challenging us? I don't believe that we come to this place just to do the same thing week on week. I do believe we come to this place to hear from the living God, to hear what he'd have to say to us, and to change, to be changed as we rest in his presence. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your service, that you took on the very nature of a servant. You were numbered with the transgressors, and you took our punishment so that we might be presented blameless in your sight. We thank you that there are no outsiders in your kingdom, that all are welcome if we accept the precious gift of grace that is undeserved, and yet in your mercy you make forgiveness available to each one of us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to go from that place in service of others. Lord, that we would live lives that reflect your glory and that reflect your love for those around us. And Lord, we ask that in the little things of this world, when we're sat watching the tennis, when we're enjoying watching the Euros, when we've got the Olympics coming up, when we take a walk in the countryside, when we go about our daily work, Lord, that you'd be placing things that remind us of you, that alert us to what it is that you're doing around us, that we might see you working and join in, and that we might be changed to look more like you, Lord, and be ready for your kingdom. We thank you for what you've said to us this morning. We thank you for speaking into our hearts. And Lord, as we spend time now together enjoying fellowship, We ask that you would continue to speak to us and through us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That was interesting. I ended up facing that way. I just had my eyes closed the whole time. Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope you've had fun today. And I'm interested to hear what God said. So do stick around, and there will be tea and coffee served in the youth hall, which is just through there, in a few minutes' time. So grab a brew, and it'd be great to have a chat.